Shalom aleichem, rabbeisai. Hagut tavach. We are in Chavis Halvavis Shara Bitochen, Perek Dalin. In my late time edition, it's page Shin Nun Ches. Page Shin Nun Ches. We are in the middle of the discussion of why does the Torah not describe the Sechar of Olam Haba? Why does the Torah only describe Sechar in material terms? So, we've seen already a number of reasons, and the Chavis Halvavis has a few more for us. Mayhem. Another reason why the Torah only discusses reward in material terms and not in terms of Olam Haba is ki ha'maisa ha'tov mischalek l'shnei chalokim. It's that our good deeds that earn us Hashem's reward, they divide into two categories. Mimeno nistar, one is concealed. A mashkifal of Zula Sabayre. The only one who can really know if it's happening and to what extent is happening is Hashem. Of course, if we've been in the Chavis Halavavis well enough, we know what he's talking about. He's talking about the inner mitzvahs or our inner system, our feelings of closeness to Hashem, our conviction, feelings of conviction, our feelings of dedication. These are all, according to the Chavis Halavavis, which is really obvious, the fundamental part of our Yiddishkeit, and these are concealed. Ubimeno, then there's the other category, nire aleivarim, which is plain to see. A person does mitzvahs or he doesn't do mitzvahs. Eineno nista min abroim. It is not concealed. Anyone can see it. Neima mitzvahs haneres aleivarim. Those are the mitzvahs that you can see, the mitzvahs that we do with our limbs. Now, Vaboyre Yisborach Goymal ala Maisa Nire ala Avarim, but Mul Nire Boilamaze. He gives an interesting take. He says, all of the reward for mitzvahs that's described in the Torah in material terms, that you will have blessing, you'll have plenty, you'll have peace, etc., you'll have health, you'll have a prosperous material life. These are for the material aspect of the mitzvahs, meaning you get material reward for the material part of the mitzvahs. The part that you do with your body, you're rewarded for materially, meaning if Klal Yisrael is, in a general way, they're doing what they need to be doing, the Torah gives its promises of reward. Bagmul nira b'olam hazeh, in a very apparent reward in our world, in olam hazeh. V'goymel ala maisa atzofun v'anistor bigmul nistor. But then the part of our performance that is concealed, that's under the surface, that is rewarded in an under the surface kind of way, with a concealed reward. V'hu gmul ha'olam haba. And that is the reward of olam haba. So he's saying the reason that the Torah keeps it two parts. The mitzvahs that we can see in this world, we get rewarded for in a way that can be described in this world. The mitzvahs that are done in material terms, they're done with your hands, they're done with your legs, etc., you get rewarded for those in material terms. The mitzvahs that are going on the concealed level, those you are rewarded for on a concealed level. Olam Haba. And therefore, David referred to it in this way when he said, "Kamaisha Omar." Like David said, "How great is the good that you have hidden away for those who fear you." Now let's explain this. It's not just setting it up neatly, but it has to be this way. Why does it have to be this way? The Torah, to an extent, quantifies. You keep the mitzvahs of the Torah and you'll get X, Y, Z, these different material blessings. The thing is that with the inner mitzvahs, there's no way of doing that. Because the external mitzvahs, the 613 mitzvahs that we do with our limbs, the truth is not all of them. The 613 include some that are done on the inside. But they can be quantified, and therefore their reward can be quantified. But the mitzvahs that we do on the inside, there is no way of quantifying them. You say, if you serve Hashem with love, you will get X, Y, Z. But love can mean so many things. Love can have so many different levels. The feelings that a person is operating with, the conviction that a person is operating with, the sense of connection that a person is operating with, his inner sense of dedication, his appreciation, all these are things that can't be quantified. What are you going to say? It's going to become impossible if you're going to try to quantify reward for these things. You're going to say, well, if you do a mitzvah with 10 degrees of love, you get this. If it's 12 degrees of love, you get that. If it's a combination of coming from a place of 14 degrees of love together with 7% of oil, you get that. Also, the sacrifice, there is the difficulty it involved. In this sense, each one of us doing a mitzvah is a whole different story. No two people's performance is the same. And therefore, there's no way to quantify this. So it's not quantified. Hashem says, I have an endless store of reward waiting. I have an endless store of good. And I'm going to dole that out in accordance with your level of inner conviction, of inner love, of inner dedication, passion, enthusiasm, etc. But that can't be quantified. And therefore, just as we're doing it on an inner level, under the tail, under the surface kind of way, the reward remains non-quantified, concealed, and we'll see it corresponding to all of our efforts and all of our inner feelings when we get there. And he says the same goes for punishments. It's the same idea. Hashem quantified punishments for averus. But at the same time, the punishment in the next world very much has to do with what was actually going on inside the person. In this world, Besdin will not differentiate. If a person transgressed an avera, sorry, just give me a moment. Sorry. Person did an avera. Let's say two people ate a kazayas of non-kosher meat. Both were warned. There are witnesses for both. Besdin will not and cannot sit down and start saying, well, you know what? For this person, the test was much more difficult. The other person wasn't, and therefore the other person will get a more severe punishment than the first person. Besdin can't operate that way. In Besdin, it's pretty much black and white. You did the deed, you were warned, and the testimony meets the halachic criteria, there's a uniform punishment. There's a uniform punishment. But in Shamayim, it's not like that. In Shamayim, the difficulty is taken into account. The degree of consciousness is taken into account. And therefore, here also he says, Hashem is not going to quantify the punishment of the next world either, because it's very much subject to what was going on inside the person at the time that he did the deed. And therefore, while here in Olam Hazeh, two people did the same punishment, two people did the same avera, the punishment is going to be the same, the material punishment. But in the next world, it's not like that. Two people did an avera, they might be approached very, very differently. There are many other factors that will be taken into account in determining each one's level of liability. I'll add even another point to this. This is just a point to take into account. whenever Hashem is weighing a person's guilt, there's room for a more forgiving approach. There's room for a harsher approach. Person did an avera. He knew it was wrong and he did it. So Hashem could come and say, you knew it was wrong, you did it. The punishment is due. Or Hashem could come and say, I know that you were down at the time. It was very, very difficult for you to overcome. And therefore, I'm going to go easier on you. I'm going to go easier on you. There could be different when you're the boss, Hashem is the boss, he could decide that with this person, I'm going to take a more forgiving approach. And with this person, I'm not going to. Beis Din does not have that right. What determines that? This is an important point for us to bear in mind. What determines that? Here Chazal, give us a very chashuv eitzah. They say that when it comes to the judgment in the next world, we determine the approach that Hashem is going to take toward us. If it's going to be a more forgiving approach, a more easygoing approach, a more flexible approach, or is it going to be a harsher, more rigid approach? And you know what that depends on? It depends on the approach that we take toward other people. That's what Chazal tell us. If offenses toward you are responded to in a forgiving way, in an accommodating way, in a tolerant way, that you determine, you're going to dictate the type of approach that Hashem is going to take toward you when he's judging you. If offenses toward you are related to with utmost harshness, tit for tat, in a rigid kind of way, that will be the approach that will be implemented against the person in the next world as well. So once again, when it comes also to punishment in the next world, it couldn't really be quantified because it's very, very subjective to the individual and to what's going on inside him. Okay. We move on. Okay, we move on. Umehem, I'm skipping to the next paragraph. Umehem, another reason why the Torah does not describe Gan Eden as the reward for mitzvahs. Because when punishment and reward is described in the Sefer, in the Torah, Diber Hanavi Bigmula Ilam Azeva Anchoi. This is kind of similar to an explanation that we saw earlier from the Chavis Talvav. It's a slightly different approach, but a similar concept. That he speaks to each person in his world. He speaks to each person in his reality. When he's talking to material people, he talks in terms of material reward and punishment. But as he showed earlier, there is a pasuk that does speak of reward in the next world. That was said to Yeshua ben Yitzhak, right? We saw earlier, I'll give you a place among these angels. He said that to Yeshua because at the time Yeshua was in that world. He was having a vision. He was brought into the upper world. And therefore, when Hashem was talking to him about reward, he spoke about it in terms of that world. Omale, he told him, I will grant you a place, a standing among these angels. Because that's the way it works. When you want to promise reward or threaten with punishment, you speak of it in terms of the current reality. If the reality and the person that you're talking to is a material person, you talk in material terms. If it's a spiritual person, you speak in spiritual terms. Okay, similar to an idea we saw earlier. Okay. Umehem, another reason, and this is also similar to an explanation that we saw earlier, but a slight twist on it. Shegmula olam haba ein tachlisoi ela lidabek belikim lizkor vel olam ha'elyon. You have to understand what the essence of olam haba is. Olam Haba is not a place where prizes are doled out. the bliss of Olam Haba is being brought close up to Hashem. And being bound up with Him is the source of bliss. Again, as we discussed, I tell you that it doesn't get your mouth watering. It's not necessarily going to be what's going to tempt you. We already discussed earlier that that's why Hashem did not speak in these terms when He described the reward of the next, when He described the reward, because in our bodies we can't appreciate that. But actually, our body is very limited in its capacity, and the neshama has a much greater capacity for pleasure. And that is the ultimate pleasure that the neshama can enjoy, as we discussed. But lamaisa, we have to understand that it's not just spiritual pleasure. We have to understand what that spiritual pleasure is. It is being brought and bound up with Hashem that provides the greatest pleasure that could possibly be experienced. That closeness with Hashem. Like this is described in the following pasuk that said, your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of Hashem will draw you in. You will be enveloped in Hashem's glory, and that is the reward. Okay. Now, and therefore, if it was a matter of payment, you come to the next world and you get your check, so it doesn't really matter how much Hashem likes you. You did what you needed to do. Hashem pays you. Like with any employer-employee relationship, there isn't a personal angle to it. But since the whole essence of Olam Haba is being brought extremely close to Hashem and enjoying that connection, it's not business. It's something very personal. You're going to be bound up with Hashem and enjoying that closeness. And therefore, it's only relevant. It can only work with someone who Hashem actually feels close to. Okay, we're in mid-sentence here. We're developing a fine point. It has to be elaborated properly. But, okay, we're not going to be able to develop it fully tonight. We'll stop here in mid-sentence, and we will continue Bli Nedar tomorrow. Good night, Rabbi Isai.
Good night. Thank you very much.
Bruchim to you.